Tractate 18. John 5. 19. Part 1. John the Evangelist, among his fellows and companions the other evangelists, received this special and peculiar gift from the Lord, on whose breast he reclined at the feast, hereby to signify that he was drinking deeper secrets from his inmost heart, to utter those things concerning the Son of God which may perhaps rouse the attentive minds of the little ones, but cannot fill them, as yet not capable of receiving them, while to minds, of somewhat larger growth, and coming to a certain age of inner manhood, he gives in these words something whereby they may both be exercised and fed. You have heard it when it was read, and you remember how this discourse arose. For yesterday it was read, that therefore the Jews sought to kill Jesus, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This that displeased the Jews, pleased the Father. This, without doubt, pleases them too that honor the Son as they honor the Father, for if it does not please them, they will not be pleasing. For God will not be greater because it pleases thee, but thou wilt be less if it displeases thee. Now against this calumny of theirs, coming either of ignorance or of malice, the Lord speaks not at all what they can understand, but that whereby they may be agitated and troubled, and, on being troubled, it may be, seek the physician. And he uttered what should be written, that it might afterwards be read even by us. Now we have seen what happened in the hearts of the Jews when they heard these words, what happens in ourselves when we hear them, let us more fully consider. For heresies, and certain tenets of perversity, ensnaring souls and hurling them into the deep, have not sprung up except when good scriptures are not rightly understood, and when that in them which is not rightly understood is rashly and boldly asserted. And so, dearly beloved, ought we very cautiously to hear those things for the understanding of which we are but little ones, and that, too, with pious heart and with trembling, as it is written, holding this rule of soundness, that we rejoice as in food in that which we have been able to understand, according to the faith with which we are imbued, and what we have not yet been able to understand, that we lay aside doubting, and defer the understanding of it for a time, that is, even if we do not yet know what it is, that still we doubt not in the least that it is good and true. And as for me, brethren, you must consider who I am that undertake to speak to you, and what I have undertaken, for I have taken upon me to treat of things divine, being a man, of spiritual things, being carnal, of things eternal, being immortal. Also from me, dearly beloved, far be vain presumption, if my conversation would be sound in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. In proportion to my measure I take what I put before you, where it is opened, I see with you, where it is shut, I knock with you. Now the Jews were moved and indignant, justly, indeed, because a man dared to make himself equal with God, but unjustly in this, because in the man they understood not the God. They saw the flesh, the God they knew not, they observed the habitation, of the inhabitant they were ignorant. That flesh was a temple, within it dwelt God. It was not the flesh that Jesus made equal to the Father, it was not the form of a servant that he compared to the Lord, not that which he became for us, but that which he was when he made us. For who Christ is, I speak to Catholics, you know, because you have rightly believed, not word only, nor flesh only, but the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. I recite again concerning the Word what you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here is equality with the Father. But the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. Then this flesh the Father is greater. Thus the Father is both equal and greater, equal to the Word, greater than the flesh, equal to him by whom he made us, greater than he who was made for us. By this sound Catholic rule, which you ought particularly to know. Which you who know it hold fast, from which your faith ought not in any case to slip, which is to be wrested from your heart by no arguments of men, let us measure the things we do understand, and the things which, it may be, we do not understand, let us defer, to be hereafter measured by this rule, when we shall be competent to do this. We know him, then, as equal to the Father, the Son of God, because we know him in the beginning as God the Word. Why, then, sought the Jews to slay him? Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God, seeing the flesh, not seeing the Word. Let him therefore speak against them, the Word through the flesh, let him, the dweller within, speak for through his dwelling place, that whoso can, shall know who he is that dwells within. What saith he then to them? Then answered Jesus, and said unto them, being indignant because he made himself equal with God, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son cannot do anything of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. What the Jews answered to these words is not written, and perhaps they said nothing. Certain, however, who wish to be esteemed Christians, are not silent, but from these words somehow conceive certain opinions in contradiction to us, which are not to be despised, both for their and for our sakes. The Arian heretics, namely, while they assert that the Son, who took upon himself flesh, is less than the Father, not by the flesh, but before taking flesh, and not of the same substance as the Father, take a handle of misrepresentation from these words, and reply to us, you see that the Lord Jesus, observing the Jews to be moved with indignation at his making himself equal to God the Father, subjoins such words as these, to show that he was not equal with God. For the Jews, say they, were provoked against Christ, because he made himself equal with God, and Christ, wishing to cure them of this impression, and to show them that the Son is not equal to the Father, that is, to God, saith this, as if he said, why are you angry? Why are you indignant? I am not equal to God, since the Son cannot do anything of himself, except what he seeth the Father doing. Now, say they, he who cannot do anything of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing, is surely less, not equal. In this distorted and depraved rule of his own heart, let the heretic hear us, not as yet chiding, but still as it were inquiring, and let him explain to us what he thinks. For, I suppose, whoever thou art, for we may regard him as here present in person, thou dost hold with us, that in the beginning was the Word. I do hold it, saith he. And that the Word was with God. This too, saith he, I hold. Proceed then, and hold the stronger saying that follows, that the Word was God. Even this, says he, I hold, but yet, this, God the greater, that, God the less. Now this somehow smells of the pagan, I thought I was speaking with a Christian. If there is God the greater, and God the less, then we worship two gods, not one God. Why, saith he, dost not thou, too, affirm two gods, equal the one to the other? This I do not assert, for I understand this equality as implying therein also undivided love, and if undivided love, then perfect unity. For if the love that God put in men doth make of many hearts of men one heart, and doth make many souls of men into one soul, as it is written of them that believed and mutually loved one another, in the Acts of the Apostles, they had one soul and one heart toward God. If, therefore, my soul and thy soul become one soul, when we think the same thing and love one another, how much more must God the Father and God the Son be one God in the fountain of love? But to these words, by which thy heart is disturbed, bend thy thought, and reflect with me on that which we were seeking out concerning the Word. We already hold that the Word was God. I join to this another thing, that, having said, this was in the beginning with God, the evangelist immediately subjoined, all things were made by him. Now will I urge thee by questioning, now will I move thee against thyself, and sue thee against thyself, only keep this in memory concerning the Word, that the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Hear now the words by which thou wast moved to assert that the Son is less, forsooth, because he said, the Son cannot of himself do anything, but what he seeth the Father doing. Just so, saith he. Explain to me this a little, this is, I presume, how thou thinkest, that the Father doth certain things, and the Son observes how the Father doth, that he may also himself be able to do those things which he seeth the Father doing. Thou hast set up two artisans, as it were, the Father and the Son, just like master and learner, like as artisan fathers are wont to teach their sons their craft. Behold, I come down to thy carnal sense, for the moment I think as thou doest, let us see if this our conception finds an issue in harmony with the things which we have just now alike spoken and alike hold regarding the Word, that the Word was God, and that all things were made by him. Suppose, then, the Father, as an artisan, doing certain works, and the Son as a learner, who cannot of himself do anything, but what he seeth the Father doing he keenly watches, in a manner, the Father's hands, that, as he seeth him fashioning aught, so he may himself in like manner fashion something similar by his own works. But the Father here doth all those things that he doth, and wishes the Son to give heed to him, and to do the like also himself, by whom doth the Father? Come. Now is the time for thee to stand to thy former opinion, which thou didst recite with me, and didst hold with me, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. But thou, after holding with me, that all things were made by the Word, dost again, with thy carnal wit and childish fancy, imagine with thyself God making something, and the Word giving heed, so that when God has made, the Word also may make the like. Now, what does God make without the Word? For if he doth aught, then were not all things made by the Word, thou hast given up the position which thou didst hold. But if all things were made by the Word, correct what thou didst understand amiss. The Father made, and made only by the Word, in what way does the Word give heed to see the Father making without the Word, what the Word may do in like manner? Whatever the Father hath made, he made it by the Word, else is it false that all things were made by him. But it is true that all things were made by him. Perhaps this did not seem enough for thee? Well, and without him was nothing made. Withdraw, then, from this wisdom of the flesh, and let us inquire in what manner it is said, the Son cannot of himself do anything, but what he seeth the Father doing. Let us inquire, if we are worthy to apprehend. For I confess it is a great thing, and altogether difficult, to see the Father doing through the Son, not the Father and the Son doing each his particular works, but the Father doing every work whatsoever by the Son, so that not any works are done by the Father without the Son, or by the Son without the Father, because all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. These truths being most firmly established in the foundation of faith, what now is the nature of this seeing? Thou seekest, as I suppose, to know the Son doing, seek first to know the Son seeing. For what, in fact, saith he? The Son cannot of himself do anything, but what he seeth the Father doing. Note what he said, but what he seeth the Father doing. The seeing comes first, the doing follows, he seeth in order to do. As for thee, why seekest thou at present to know how he doth, whilst thou understandest not as yet how he seeth? Why runnest thou to that which comes later, leaving that which comes first? He declares himself as seeing and doing, not doing and seeing, because he cannot of himself do anything, but what he seeth the Father doing. Wilt thou that I explain to thee how he doth? Do thou explain to me how he seeth. If thou canst not explain this, neither can I that. If thou art not yet competent to understand this, neither am I to understand that. Wherefore let each of us seek, each knock, that each may merit to receive. Why dost thou, as if thou wert learned, unjustly blame me who am unlearned? I in respect of the doing, thou in respect of the seeing, being both unlearned, let us inquire of the Master, not childishly wrangle in his school. We have already, however, learned together that all things were made by him. Therefore it is manifest that it is not a different kind of works that the Father doth, that, seeing them, the Son may do other works like them, but the very same doth the Father by the Son, because all things were made by the Word. Now, as to how God doth, who knows? How made he, I will not say the world, but thine own eye, in thy carnal attachment to which thou comparest visible things with invisible. For thou conceivest of God such things as thou art wont to see with these eyes. But if God might be seen with these eyes, he would not have said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Accordingly, thou hast an eye of the body to see an artificer, but thou hast not yet the eye of the heart to see God. Hence, what thou art wont to see in an artificer, thou wouldest transfer to God. Leave earthly things on the earth, set thy heart on high.